Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What is your take on all of that? The Tech's giving up all these big home games to play 5 minutes down the road at the Benz.
Well, it just goes to show you in this day and age, you can literally sell anything because there are a lot of people in Atlanta, which is where I live, who treat this as some sort of major coup for Georgia Tech when the actual truth could not be more obvious. This is just Tech selling away its home games. Now, I guess if you need the money, then I guess you got to do what you got to do here, but you know, it's kind of amazing to me that many in the media will essentially fall for anything. You know, this is being kind of spun as, oh, look at Jeff Collins and his, you know, his power to sell Georgia Tech. They're going to be playing games at Mercedes-Benz State and they're going to be playing recruits there. I mean, this is literally just renting out your home games to another stadium, you know, for the, you know, for money here, but it's being treated as something different, which I think is kind of funny.
Well, how would you guys feel? How would you feel, Brandon, and ask Jeff too, if they wanted to play Georgia in the Benz for their home
now,
game?
Now, if they want to use one of their own home games to play Georgia Mercedes-Benz Stadium, I'll be all for that. I would never be in favor of, like, a neutral side game, you know, where Georgia lost an Athens home game there. But if they want to play Georgia there, I'd be all for it. I did think it was very curious, though, that was immediately part of this announcement of, hey, we're going to play Notre Dame there a couple of times. And Notre Dame has been doing this with teams forever. Tech's not the first team to do that with Notre Dame. But we're going to do Clemson there. But with Georgia, we're not going to do that. That's not going to happen.
The tradition.
I did think that. I thought that was very, very curious. They were very quick to say they were not going to be doing that when it comes to Georgia.
Well, Clemson will have more fans than them there. And there's a pretty good chance Notre Dame can as well.
Yeah, Jeff, I think you're absolutely right about that. I think there's a very good chance that both those fan bases will, you know, have that happen. And, you know, in all seriousness, if you're Jeff Collins and you're really looking to build a program, that does not, to me, seem like the best way to build that program. To me, what would seem like the best overall, you know, way to build your program is kind of slowly but surely over time, you know, adding the kind of, you know, stuff that your fans really want, which I'm assuming if you're a Tech fan, that's a chance to cheer on your team and your team's own stadium. So the whole thing to me just seems, you know, really, really weird. I think it just kind of goes to show just how far, you know, how far Georgia Tech really has to go if it wants to be kind of a major player in the South, because I think it's a lot farther than some Tech fans may actually realize.
Well, and here's the thing I do want to say, and nobody's here to sit there and, you know, laud Tech here, but, you know, when you talk about building the program, I think we all get that they're going to redo their offense, and I hope they never make another first down. We beat them 9 straight, and they disband the program. But, you know, they've missed 2 bowl games since 1997. Paul Johnson took them to 2 Orange Bowls, won an SEC championship, and went 3-3 in Sanford Stadium. So it's not like they were a disaster there. We all get that the offense was different. So that's going to be interesting, too, with Jeff Collins kind of coming, oh, we're rebuilding here. It's not like he's stepping into a spot where they were going 2-10 every year. So that's the interesting twist to all this.
Yeah, I think you're right about that, Jeff. I mean, it's not a moribund program necessarily. And, like, the one thing that I think that Collins is going to be able to do, you know, the other day you saw Marquez Ezard transfer in. That's a receiver that Georgia fans that follow recruiting have at least heard of. And I don't mean to sound like a backhanded compliment, but you know, it's been a long time since Tech's been bringing in any players that Georgia fans would have followed at the high school level at all. And now at least there are going to be one or two of those guys, at least in the near future, that are, you know, coming into that program. But if you're a Georgia fan, you want some perspective over all of this. You know, Georgia beat Florida by 19 this past year. Georgia had an easy win against Auburn. So think about the gap that exists between Georgia and those rivals, and then think about the gap that exists between teams like Florida and Auburn and Georgia Tech, and then you get a little bit of a sense for what the remaining gap, even with the coaching changes, the remaining gap is going to be between Georgia and Georgia Tech. just by looking at how all these, you know, various rivals compare with each other.
Well, you would think that they could struggle here the next couple of years, but that's where you got to feast when they're down. And I know Georgia pulled back the reins with what was coming up. And, you know, there's a part of me that says, yeah, I get it. Bama's coming up. Let's go ahead and put up the big number. I would think if Georgia's got the chance, especially with some of the chirping that Jeff Collins has done, if it's something like 38-7 early fourth quarter this coming season, which I hope it is, I think you'll see Georgia pump it up into the 50s if the Bulldogs can.
Yeah, Jeff, I think it's only fair to welcome Jeff Collins.
Absolutely.
In the clean old-fashioned state. I think that's the right way to go about that.
Ain't nothing clean about it.
I wonder if he – yeah.
That's one of the great misnomers in college football.
Do you – I would like to know, yeah, nothing clean about this old-fashioned hate. But I wonder if when he took the job, if, you know, when he's meeting with Stansberry and all that stuff, if he's been told, it's like, by the way, we want to play some of our big-name opponents at the Benz and not at home. Because I know yesterday – Collins said, I'm beyond excited, and this is great. And Stansberry said, you know, we want people to know we're in Atlanta. But
did they not know that anyway?
But, you know, it's like, I want, you know, it's like, are you really beyond excited, or are you just having to say this now because this is the route you're going? Because I would think there's a lot of coaches that wouldn't, you know, every two or three years you play a game like that. But when you're giving up your biggest home game every year, second biggest home game every year, to go play at another stadium, I don't know how many coaches would say they were actually beyond excited about that.
Yeah, Dave, I mean, if playing an NFL stadium was some sort of recruiting coup, then Pitt would be signing top-flight classes because they play all their yeah. home games in an NFL stadium. So I don't know that that's some, you know, big recruiting advantage. Otherwise, you'd see, you know, teams like Tulane or whatever. I don't know if they still play the Superdome or not, but you get the point. I mean, there are a lot of middling teams that play games in NFL stadiums, and that doesn't seem to be all that cool to recruits. What's really cool is a really good on-campus situation, that's what Tech seems to be sacrificing.
Well, you know, the interesting thing, too, and there have obviously been successes through the years, USC most notably, UCLA basketball, obviously when Miami had its run over the last, good gosh, now 83 was almost 40 years ago. But there are problems that universities in big cities face. And amongst those, we talked about this yesterday with Ross, real estate. You can't just go out there,
yeah.
And boy, we got some land here. We need to put up this facility or this building or renovate this. Parking. I mean, that's been a big problem for Tech basketball for years. I mean, where do you park to go to a game?
Yeah, at the MARTA lot.
Right. I mean, we see it for baseball. You park it in the shadows of Techwood Homes over there. And I mean, just little things. Like, I know being out in California, Brandon, and that – you know, UCLA, you know, their guys tell me they have a hard time finding a radio station in the L.A. market, not to play their baseball games, to carry their football games.
Yeah.
So they're and also you're thinking you have got all these pro sports team that you're playing second fiddle to. So obviously there have been successes, USC and Miami most notably. But that is few and far between. That's where the great sale. So I'm like, hey, Tech, you don't go ahead and sell here in Atlanta? Good for you because, you know, pretty much 99% of it is in the college towns, and there are just so many benefits that go with not being in the big city.
Yeah, you're right about that, Jeff. And, you know, excuse me, one of the weird things about Atlanta, too, having lived here for a long time, is it is such a hotbed for college football, but it's almost like the United Nations of college football,
yes,
where
is.
You know, obviously there's a lot of Georgia fans that live here, and there's, you know, probably no shortage of Tech fans given the proximity to the campus, but there are also Ohio State fans,
Tennessee,
and Notre Dame fans,
Auburn,
and, Tennessee, Auburn, everything in between. It's really kind of interesting to ever, if you're ever here on a college football Saturday, to see all the different color schemes and all the different paraphernalia that you see in the bars around town. And in all seriousness, that's a real challenge for Georgia Tech, because you'd love to be able to say to the non-Georgia fan, hey, we can be your college team if you moved here to Atlanta. But for the most part, most of the people who migrate to Atlanta seem to bring some sort of college team with them. And I would also say that's part of the reason why you see Georgia kind of cleaning up and recruiting almost everywhere but the city of Atlanta right now, where there's still some Atlanta guys that get away. They get away to, you know, Clemson or Tennessee or somewhere like that. I mean, Georgia's never recruited better, but you know, it's still only getting a portion of the top recruits from Atlanta because Atlanta is almost like an island to itself. It's not quite in Georgia as much as the rest of the state seems to be.
It's a transient town. I mean, you think about it. I remember the first time I went, my first memory, I was like five, and that's when the Blue Sundial was the tallest building in town, and there were 400,000 people. I mean, it wasn't much bigger than Savannah was, but in Europe, Georgia has a plurality of fans there, and then I would say Auburn and Tennessee are probably next, and then, you know, Tech's probably there with Bama, Clemson, South Carolina, and like you guys were saying, you think how many people have moved in the last 40 years from Atlanta who, I would say, like for kids growing up now, the dads went to Wisconsin, Penn State, Michigan, Ohio State, Michigan State.
Yep. So you're
absolutely true. Absolutely true.
B.A., what do you got cooking on the show today?
You know, one of the things we're going to talk about for Georgia this season is this is going to kind of be the first year for Kirby Smart where his team leaders won't be from that Richt era. You know, guys like DeAndre Baker, Jonathan Ledbetter a year ago, Michelle Chubb, Roquan Smith from 2017. And, you know, Kirby talks a lot about leadership, and now the leaders this team's going to have emerge are going to be guys that he's recruited and guys that he's brought in. I think that's kind of an interesting new look for Georgia in 2019. We're going to talk a little bit about what that's all going to mean.
Well, and I would think, too, a lot of those guys are going to be these juniors, certainly Jake Fromm, DeAndre Swift, and Andrew Thomas, the guy who've had major roles in the previous two seasons and who will be the three most notable stars heading into next year. You're still going to have guys like Ben Cleveland up there as well. And that's where, to me, as talented as the four defections were, I think probably one of Kirby's biggest charges this spring is going to be to find that leadership, because certainly guys like Holyfield and Hardman were going to be at the top of that list.
And, Jeff, I think you mentioned a key name. I think Andrew Thomas just stands head and shoulders to me, no pun intended, because he's obviously a very tall guy. But he stands head and shoulders to me above those guys who could emerge as the real key leaders for Georgia this season.
By the way, I saw a prop bet. Throw this at you guys. Doesn't have anything to do with – you mentioned Holyfield. Will Evander Holyfield be at the Combine? That's a prop bet I've actually seen.
And Evander Holyfield's
got somebody.
That's
a pretty good prop bet right there. I like that prop bet. I don't know that I would take those odds on him necessarily being there, but I love the idea that there are prop bets in the NFL Combine. You were certainly speaking my language with that.
Well, you know, guys, I think one of the interesting things about this Georgia team, if you look at the starting defense right now, who started in the Sugar Bowl, is there a guy on there that you'd say, oh, yeah, that is a surefire superstar?
Right.
All right. But then you look at the recruiting, and you look at guys like Adam Anderson and Channing Tindall and Brenton Cox and Tyson Campbell and what's coming in with this year's class with Dean and with Smith and with Trayvon Walker. I think the feeling is there are a lot of future stars out there, but the key to the defense this season, I think it'll particularly be with those sophomores, is going to be how many of these guys emerge. And I think that's what's most important for the defense, because if you just look at who started the Sugar Bowl, because remember there was no Walker, no Baker, and both those guys were seniors, I'm not sure how many guys you look at and say, oh, yeah, that guy's a lock first-rounder,
right,
All-American.
Yeah, you know, I think there's certainly, as you said, plenty of candidates there, and I think some of that's going to really blossom this year, which I think is going to be one of the fun things about this year. You know, you mentioned Brenton Cox. If I had to buy stock in anybody right now in terms of an NFL future, he might be one of the guys that I would, you know, most quickly invest in. But one of the fun things about 2019 is really seeing who emerges in that group. They've obviously got to replace DeAndre Baker. That's not an easy thing to do. But I think watching the potential superstars blossom, including maybe a freshman like Nolan Smith or a junior college transfer like Jermaine Johnson, I think that's going to be one of the really fun things this year as Georgia maybe gets after the quarterback a little bit more and gets into the backfield with more tackles for loss. That's one of the things I think we would all agree Georgia needs to do more of, and there certainly seems to be, as Jeff noted, the pieces in place that give Georgia a chance to do that.
But this is going to be the year, I think, when a lot of people are going to look at it and say, all right, Georgia's proven it can recruit. Now these guys are here. DeAndre Walker's gone. Baker's gone. Now – are these guys, you know, going to get coached up and produce? I certainly believe they will, and I think just when you look at the amount of talent that Georgia's brought in, that would be the smart bet. But that to me, I think if there was one area that's going to be most important, it's going to be the performance of these sophomores from that class of 2018 and how they play on that defense.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think Channing Tindall's a big name to think about there, too, as one of those linebackers, a sophomore rising up, who may really blossom this year. But I think the Jeff's spot on with that.
B.A., it's always fun talking to you. Looking forward to the show today. Of course, you can always catch Dog Nation Daily here on 960 The Ref from noon until 1. And enjoy our Wednesday chats, my man, and we'll catch you again next week.
Yeah, good catching up. I'll talk to y'all soon.
See you, Brandon. Thank you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.